So now that makes me nervous preaching, seeing the kids, they know so much. That's good. Well done to the teachers for putting that together for us. What a great time this morning. If you have got your Bibles, you can turn with you to Matthew chapter 27, please. As is custom, we like to preach out of the Bible. It's a novel idea, I know. And we like to make much of Jesus, because it's all about Him, it's not about us. And we love Him so much. And so this morning, I want to talk about the great exchange. And I know we get excited about Sunday, and we all... Man, can't we just skip Friday and get to Sunday? Because that's when Jesus rose. That's when He came to life. That's when the whole thing seems to happen. But if we miss out the cross, we miss out an amazing part. And I'm going to help you to see that today, because that is when the great exchange took place at the cross for us. And how much have you considered the great exchange? The what and the why of what took place this Friday? Because as best we know, this was the Friday. It wasn't another Friday. I woke up this morning thinking in my head that, well, it's not dependent on the date so much, it's dependent on the day. And this is the day. And so I want to help us to see today in history, it was a cosmic evolution took place, if I could use that word. A cataclysmic performance took place in the heavenlies between the forces of darkness and the forces of light as they clashed in the heavenlies, as Jesus hung between heaven and earth, and some were going, yes, it's over, we've won. They had to be patient and wait 3 days to realize, oopsie, not so much. And we have to see that when these forces took place in the heavenlies, and I mean, I'm just going to miss some of my notes this morning. When we understand, the Bible tells us, we're going to read it, and darkness fell over the earth. Well, it might have been an eclipse. No, because an eclipse never ever happens on a full moon. This was in a divine appointment by God that took place. Historical fact, scientific fact. Oh yeah, I get excited about this stuff. Have you ever wondered why we call it Good Friday? Because it was a terrible thing that happened, really. But a glorious thing. A wondrous thing. An amazing thing that took place. It's not a bad day. It's not a sad day. If you think it's a bad day and a sad day, you haven't understood the power of the cross and what took place. The great exchange. The momentous occasion in mankind. I know I'm flowering this up because I want you to get excited about it. I want you to be thinking. You know, when we came to Lord Jesus, we didn't check our brains at the door. We said, yes, Lord, we want to engage in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Other religions are about what man must do to gain God or a God's favor. Or approval. Christianity, as the kids so beautifully told us and actually said the words, is about what God has done for us. It's Jesus' death on the cross is the one event that makes it possible. That's why we can't miss the cross. That makes it possible for us to come into right standing with God. And what that means is that because of what Jesus did, because of what the transaction that took place on the cross, because of the great exchange, we are righteous in His sight. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to jump through hoops for it. I don't have to swim rivers, climb mountains, abseil from anywhere, do anything weird and wonderful, as some people who are extreme junkies do. All I have to do is say, yes, Jesus. And He says, forgiven. So before we get to Matthew 27, I know something was wrong with what I said. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, please. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Ephesians. Visitors, I'm joking. It's a standing joke we have here. Where did I want to go in Ephesians? That's helpful. Yeah, okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Yeah. And this is not your own doing. Yeah. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. So that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 27 now. Let's go back there. Reading from verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, which was noon, 12 o'clock, midday, there was darkness. This is God's intervention, as I said, over all the lands until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man called Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge filled with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook. And the tombs were opened, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming up out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion, those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When we see this, we see that this amazing moment in time, and I'll try to make this thing work. Oh. There we go.
Wow, that sounded
like thunder and lightning. Yes, sounded like thunder and lightning. And it was supposed to happen when I said, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. And Jessica jumped. What an amazing day when we look at the cross. And the transaction that took place. And the great exchange. When we read scriptures, we see Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Oh, sorry. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We are his sheep. And he laid down his life for us. And we see it in 1 Corinthians. He says, I delivered to you as of first importance, this is Paul speaking, what also I received, that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day. And we need to understand that Jesus didn't come say, I want to give you this gift. I want to see how talented you are and how amazing you are and all the spiritual gifts. And if you speak in tongues, it's great. Then you'll be saved. And if you do this and you do that. Paul didn't say any of that stuff. He said, I want to give to you the most important thing. That Jesus died for our sins. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day. It is the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the foundation of all Christianity and understanding the perfect Lamb of Jesus Christ came and sacrificed. And if you go back to Genesis and we look through all of the Old Testament into the New Testament, you will see it was everything they did was by blood covenant. Jesus was the blood covenant for the new covenant. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Jesus Christ. It was a day. Say, it was a day. An amazing day. Now you don't have to keep repeating after me. Come on, work with me. That made it possible for all mankind to come into salvation. There is no other way. There is only one God. And there is only one way to that God. And there are many ways to Jesus, of course, because we all came to Christ through different ways. But there is only one way to get to the Father. Without Friday, there would be no salvation. When our sins, past, present, and future, were dealt with and forgiven. I've said this before, but we have to understand that when I said yes to Jesus, whatever year it was, where's Wendy? Happy birthday, Wendy. 34 years ago, she gave her life to Jesus on this day. And on that day, she accepted that her sins, past, present, and future, were already forgiven because of the cross. Because alternatively, if we don't believe and think that way, it means that every time we sin and we ask forgiveness and repentance, it means Jesus has got to go to the cross again. We know that doesn't work. It was the day when the enemy was completely defeated. You know, it's like sometimes, some of you might not like this analogy, but here it is. It's like if you see a fighter in a ring and he gets punched. And he wants to keep fighting. He doesn't know that the bell's gone. The ref's jumped in. They've thrown the towel in. They've stopped the fight. He's still stumbling around the ring, finding the guy to hit. He doesn't know he's defeated yet. Until his head comes right a little bit, then he realizes he's done. I like to think of that. That's what happened on the cross. Jesus dealt a blow to the enemy. And he's still wandering around, stumbling around. Like this, like, similar to, not actually, a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Gumless, got no real teeth. Unfortunately, we see the roaring lion and we run and we go, ooh, the devil's after me. Not so much. Jesus is for you. The record of debt that had been incurred was completely cancelled. Let that sink in for a little bit. The legal demands of that debt was eradicated completely forever. That's why we have that amazing, wonderful Greek word called tetelestai, which means paid in full. He had our sheet of debt, and Jesus on the cross then came along, sealed in his blood and paid it, and it said across there, tetelestai, paid in full. Because if we still think we owe Jesus something, then that was a contract. It wasn't a contract. It was because he loved us so much. And he wanted us reconciled to the Father. And of course, in our humanness, when we think, how do I repay Jesus? Well, you can't. You can try. You can think. But if we just read Romans 12, 1 and 2, you'll get that, no, there's no way you can pay this thing. And it's not a debt to be paid. That day. The day we were completely legally delivered from Adam's rebellion. We are not in Adam anymore. We're in Christ Jesus. Last Adam, not second Adam, last Adam came. And delivered us from everything. A couple of weeks ago, I preached on TGIF, not TGIM. Let's go. Thank goodness it's Monday. Oh, ha-ho, ha-ho, and off to work I go. We can go and plunder hell, and you remember? Armor of God, and we go. sword of the Spirit. Sound effects are cool, eh? Well, for me anyway. Jesus bore upon himself all our guilt and shame. Not some of it. Not all of it. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know how it is for me. And the truth is, most of you know. But it doesn't matter. Because you don't know where I've been, what I've done, all that stuff either. And that's what I call sin consciousness thinking. We have to live righteous consciousness thinking. Living for the King and the Kingdom. That's why it's so exciting. This is exciting. The demonic rulers and authorities were put to shame as Christ triumphed over them. One uppercut, running around, not sure. I don't know about this. I'm confused. No, I'm not confused. I know Jesus dealt the death blow. I know that Jesus is triumphant. I know come Sunday we're going to get even more excited. Learn a new African word, Jabula. We're going to be Jabula. Yeah, there we go. We're going to be, which means happy, excited in Zulu. Oh, when the Holy of Holies was opened by the veil torn from top to bottom. Do you know how big that curtain was? 60 by 40 foot. 60 foot wide, 60 foot high, 40 foot wide, and it was a couple of feet thick. No man could do that. Even with the sharpest of blade, he couldn't do that. Heaven invading earth tore the curtain open. And we stood there and we looked into the Holy of Holies. We looked into the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we said, I can go in here. I don't need someone else with pretty little bells on and a rope tied around their ankle to go in for me once a year. I can go in every day. Man. A day when a convicted criminal entered paradise. A day a Roman soldier immediately came to faith. Surely this is the Son of God. A little soundtrack here, and I don't know how many of you jumped, but it was very visible for me, for Jess at the front here. I don't know how many of you jumped, but could you imagine? Yeah, Romans were good at crucifying people. And this happened daily. This wasn't like a new event to them. Nail them to the cross, pull the cross up, hang the cross. Oh, break the legs. But because it wasn't, we call it Easter, but in truth, we have to understand was the Passover, the beginning of the Passover, the Lamb of God. As I said last week, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they had to put the blood all over the door with the branch of hyssop. And those who stayed inside were safe. Those who went left out into Egypt, went into their promised land. And he has the same kind of analogy where Jesus is bringing us out of our darkness into his kingdom of light, taking us into liberty and freedom and all the stuff, and to his amazing grace. And the blood shed and flowed from Calvary. And this great curtain, this great obstacle was in the way. And even those who still believe today, when they read it, they still read with a veil over their face. They don't understand the grace of God that allowed us into the Holy of Holies. That is joyous. That's exciting. That's the power of the cross. Thank you. Thank you. When we understand that, we see that when Jesus, when the curtain was torn, and that we could go, and you can today, and I know you need to learn to practice his presence, if I could put it that way. And we go and we can get up onto the throne and we can sit on Abba's lap and we can lay our head against his head and hear his heartbeat. Because we are true heirs and true children of God. Isaiah 53:4 says this. Surely he has borne our griefs. Not one grief, all our griefs. And carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. Healed, body, soul, and spirit. I know sometimes we just take, just physical healing. No, it's everything. We are body, soul, and spirit. It means all of that. And when we understand that, I mean, just a little bit of a throw in there. 39 stripes, one less than 40. Do you know how many major groups there are of illnesses in the world today? 39? Amazingly so. Wow. The moment we truly put our trust in Jesus and commit ourselves fully to Him, receiving Him and confessing Him, not just as Jesus, but truly as Lord and Savior of our lives, we are in Christ for all of time. Go and read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And I've said this before, underline how many times you see the word in Christ, in Jesus, in there. And that's who we are. Our position, because that's all about our position in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for all His glory. And just in closing, because I said I'd try and make it a short one today. Here we go. What is the great exchange? I'm so glad you asked. Jesus took all my sin. I received His righteousness. I am clothed in His righteousness. You don't have to say it. Well, say it out loud if you want. I am His righteousness. Because sometimes when I say, or we people say, are you a holy person? You go, oh, I'm not too sure. The answer is yes, I am. That's not arrogance. It's not pride. It's understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Scripture says, I want men everywhere to raise up holy hands. Oh, well, I don't know if I'm holy. Well, that's meant for other people. No, He's writing to the whole church. And who we are in Christ Jesus means we have holy hands. Because my sins, past, present and future, have been forgiven. Does that mean then I can go along and just do what I like and behave like an idiot? No, doesn't mean I can do that. Grace teaches me to say no to sin. Grace doesn't mean I can do what I like. Well, we're not under law, we're under grace. Hey, Jesus took my punishment and I received His forgiveness. I saw an article in Iran, a news article, two young guys got into a fight in the street a couple of years ago, and the one took out a knife and stabbed the guy. Didn't mean to kill him. But then they had sentenced him to death. And in Iran, everything's public. So they have this gallows set up, and now the mother of the slain son gets to speak, and she says, I can't forgive him. And because she can't forgive him, they're going to hang him publicly. And not up to the courts, by the way, because that's their Sharia law. That's how it works. So what happens, the other mother is sitting kneeling on the floor and she's weeping and she's crying. And she turns and looks at this mother of the son who's going to be hanged now publicly. And this other guy's standing with his hands bound, got a hood on his head, the rope around his neck, and he's standing on a chair. And the mother says to the hangman, says, bring me a chair. They bring her a chair and she stands up on the chair and she looks at, she says, take the hood off. They take the hood off. He looks into his eyes. She slaps him. Bah! And she says, forgiven. She gets off the chair. They take the hangman's noose off of him. And now he's free. How do you feel when I tell you that story? I know, I'm like, ooh. That's what Jesus did for us. Forgiven. We don't have to pay the penalty. He paid it for us. He took my punishment and I receive His forgiveness. He took my disease or diseases and my pains. I receive His healing. He took my sadness, and He gave me His joy. I'm not talking about being happy. Because we all get happy. If I told you, let's line up now and I all handed you all out $1,000, or maybe let's go $500,000. Let's go a million. Gave you all $1 million as you walked out. Would you be happy? There we go. Happy, happy. Woo! I know, and the other thing you'd say was, what a nice pastor. Where do you get all the bucks? Yeah. I'm not going to tell you that. But he took my curses. I received his blessing. I'm going to say this clearly for us. I know some of you might have learned this or been taught this. Generational curses. If you're a child of the King, you do not live under the curse of generational curses. Please get that into your spirit. We do not have to pray for people to be released from generational curses if they are a Christian. They've already been released from that. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Here we go. Let's get a little bit excited. He took my old life. He gave me His new life. John 10:10, Michael's favorite verse. And He gave us what, Michael? Abundant life. Life abundantly. Joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. I'm sure there's a song in there. Wow. He took my poverty and I received His riches. I'm not talking about your bank account. Do you remember when Jesus hung on the cross? If you go back and you read Deuteronomy, He was there with nothing. He was in nakedness. He was there in poverty. He was there alone with all the curses upon Him that He took upon Himself. And when He died and the blood was shed, the covenant was cut, the new covenant was cut. And we have been freed from that. That's why we don't live under the burden of work is so hard, because we're not cursed under Adam. We are liberated in Christ Jesus. He took my rejection. I received His acceptance. Now, I know that's a big one. Anybody ever been rejected about anything? Let me put this hand up to show you that I've also been rejected many times. But I received His acceptance into the family of God. And I want to tell you, when you go out and you witness to people, or you be a witness, not let's go out and witness, be a witness as we go along. That's what the Great Commission is all about. When you are rejected, they're not rejecting you because they don't know you. They're rejecting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we receive His acceptance. I'm accepted in Christ. Now, I know sometimes you've got to self-talk to get the boldness up, and we just, Holy Spirit, give me boldness for this moment. Fill my mouth with the words You want me to speak. And then we don't have to worry about, well, I don't know what to say. Because the Holy Spirit will be faithful and tell you what to say. He took my filthy rags and I received His garment of righteousness. I am righteous in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Gone a little bit over time, but I just want to encourage us today. When the world vies for your attention, when the world gives you the allure and wants to entice you, His amazing grace. Remember this message. Remember Good Friday. The power of the cross. The great exchange. The great exchange that took place in the heavenly realms, and heaven then invaded earth. And we live in a kingdom now and a kingdom to come. It's not sit at the bus stop of the rapture bus stop waiting for it all to happen. No. Ephesians 2:10. He has works prepared for us. Psalm 139, I think verse 16 or 17. All the days that He has prepared for us are written down in His book for us to do. It's not works for salvation, but it's works by faith that He has produced for us. Walk across the room, walk across your street, and go and encourage a neighbor or a friend. Tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell them about the good news of Good Friday. And in closing, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you this morning to take hold of the message of the great exchange. To take hold of a Lord and Savior and a Master. I'm not promising you a false gospel that now if you become a Christian, all my problems will just fade away. That's a false gospel. What I can tell you though is that you will be assured for eternity. You will be heirs of a salvation in heaven. You will be righteous, His forgiveness, His healing, His joy, His blessing, His new life, His riches, His acceptance, His garment of righteousness. Let's just stand together, please. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up or come forward. I'd like to talk to you afterwards. I'd like to speak to you and introduce you to the person of Jesus Christ, not another religion, not church. It's good to gather together because that's what the Bible says. But when we go out here, if you read above our door sign, it says you're now entering the harvest field. That's where it really happens out there. This is just a little pep talk, if you like, but a very important one. So Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God, and we just thank you for the cross. We thank you for the great exchange, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you sent your Son Jesus to die. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us, Lord God, that we might walk and live a new covenant, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that came and sealed that covenant for us, Lord. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is here to teach us, to walk with us, and to guide us. And Father, we pray for those this morning who don't know you as Lord and Savior. Whether in the sound of my voice or whether out there, Holy Spirit, would you not speak to them, convict them of their unbelief, Lord God, in Jesus. That they would come into the kingdom, that we would see a celebration in heaven, that the angels would rejoice for every sinner that comes to Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And God said, Amen. And we said, Amen.